Sean Monahan in town, got on a plane. He is in Calgary along with pretty much all of the Calgary Flame prospects. Yeah,
pretty much everybody's going to be here.
Yeah, not many. There's one or two, I suppose, you could look at and say. But the top prospects, the guys that you want to see, are going to be on the ice starting tomorrow, running through the weekend and into next week. One of them, and one of the most notable, is the first-round pick, sixth overall of the Flames this past weekend, or 2 weekends ago, I guess, depending on how you look at it. Sean Monahan playing his junior hockey with the Ottawa 67s. Who better to give us some insider scoop and knowledge as to what he's all about than the voice of the 67s, A.J. Jakubek. A.J., how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing okay. Good to talk to you. We're excited to see him. You go to the draft, you get these picks. We've been talking about these three first-round picks forever, and who is it going to be? Is it Monahan? Is it Lindholm? Is somebody going to fall? That's all behind us now. It is about Sean Monahan, 6'2", 187 pounds, 3 years in Ottawa. Aside from what we've seen we've seen the numbers on paper. We know that he was a late cut for the World Juniors, and there was a suspension, and he's had a little bit of an injury this past season, into the season prior, but what can you tell us about this guy? You've had a chance to talk to him, see him, be around him. Tell us a little bit about Sean.
Well, I've been doing junior hockey broadcasts the last 12 years, three for the Edmonton Oil Kings and the rest with the Ottawa 67s here. And I'd say, other than maybe Logan Couture, the best pro prospect that I've been around day in, day out over that time. This is a guy that comes to the rink each and every day and is a professional. He's not a flashy guy. He's not going to wow you going end-to-end and wow you with his speed or anything like that. But he's a great character guy on and off the ice. And in terms of his game, he's just a hockey player. He competes. He's great at both ends of the rink. He's a good face-off guy. He's good defensively. He's a guy that has tremendous vision, great hockey sense, and just a real nose for offensive creativity as well. He had 78 points this past year, playing with two guys that probably wouldn't be in the top six on any other CHL team in the country. Ottawa was a bad team this year. They had 16 wins. So that was one of the big question marks going in. The year before, same point totals, playing with Tyler Toffoli, the AHL Rookie of the Year, and a guy that had some success in the playoffs this year with the LA Kings, and Shane Prince, who had a pretty good season in his rookie pro campaign in Binghamton in the Senators system. So he answered the questions there, whether it was because he was playing with good line mates or not. But this is a guy that's going to make everyone around him better. And I think the best comparisons that I've heard in terms of past NHL players or current NHL players, and there's no guarantee he's going to have the same type of career as these guys, but a couple of guys that were brought up from the past, Joe Nieuwendyk and Trevor Linden, and guys that you might play like today, Jordan Staal. So, again, not a flashy guy, but a guy that you'd love to have on your team, and I think the Flames got a good one for a long time.
It's such a tough commentary, you know, a good player on a bad team. And this was a guy in Monahan that was, I mean, head and shoulders the 67's best player on a struggling team. It's almost tougher sometimes to watch a guy like that and compare him to a Nathan MacKinnon or a Jonathan Drouin, who are getting points and are winning games and have the flashy numbers and play in the big-time type of showcase events.
Yeah, and that's why it's important, I think, to have a pretty good book on a guy from not just his draft year. And Sean Monahan has been an Ottawa 67 for 3 years, and the two previous seasons, this team was a division champ, and last season they ended up going to the conference finals before losing to Niagara. And in that playoff run, he was, along with Cody Ceci and Peter Mrazek, a couple of other guys that I think we're going to see for a long time in the NHL, of the 67's best players in that playoff run. He went against Brendan Gaunce, a first-round pick of the Vancouver Canucks in the first round, against Belleville in the first round of the playoffs. And he outplayed Brendan Gaunce in the first round of that series. And then in the second round, he went up against Mark Scheifele. And Mark Scheifele, of course, high pick of the Winnipeg Jets, older than Sean Monahan. And by the time that series had progressed, it had started, Chris Byrne, the Ottawa 67's head coach, was happy going head-to-head against Scheifele. Howard Chuck, starting in Barrie, liked that matchup as well. But by the time they got to game six of that series, Howerchuk had pulled away from that matchup. He was so dominant at both ends of the ice that Howerchuk wanted to make sure that he got Scheifele a different matchup on the road. And then he outplayed Ryan Strome in the third round, even though Ottawa lost that series to Niagara. So he was fantastic. He was great for Team Canada as they won the series against the Russians in the summer last year. Started as the 13th forward, finished that event as a top six guy, and scored some big goals for Canada. And I think a lot of people were surprised by the fact, myself included, that he didn't make Team Canada at the World Juniors. But he'll own that. He'll say that he wasn't very good there. You mentioned the suspension. He had that 10-game suspension, which led right into the fact that he went into that training camp without having played a game in 3.5 weeks. Wasn't himself, wasn't rusty, but he owns that. He just says he wasn't good enough. So that's the type of kid he is. He's a character guy. And I can tell you, in terms of character stories, this year there was a game against Oshawa late in the season. The 67s were already eliminated mathematically and everything from playoff contention. He hurt his back in the game against the Oshawa Generals on the Friday night, played the first period, didn't return for the last two, wasn't expected to play on the Sunday. And this is a situation where he could have easily mailed it in. This is a team that's way out of it, and he just could look ahead to the draft and everything in the summer. So on the Sunday, the 67s, because of renovations to Lansdowne Park this year, they were playing games at Scotiabank Place and practicing games elsewhere, so everything with their gear and everything was not at the rink. It's like a road game every game. And his gear was left at the practice rink because they just didn't think he was going to play. But he showed up in the morning, said, "I'm ready to play." So they had to rush back to the practice rink, get his gear. He suited up, and he played great. You'd never know he was banged up. And that's the type of character kid that he is, because, a lot of kids in that same situation, they would have mailed it in. But this is a guy that loves the game and is a tremendous team guy. And, again, I think Ottawa – Calgary got a real good one with Sean Monahan at number six.
I know Craig Conroy was saying that exact story where it would have been easy. Most guys would have said, "I have no reason to play." Showed up at the rink, he's like, "Where's my gear?" And, well, we didn't think you were going to. "Well, get my gear. I want to play." And I think that story alone kind of did a lot in convincing the Flames he was the right guy. Now, we're chatting with AJ Jakubek, play-by-play voice of the Ottawa 67s. He's watched Sean Monahan obviously very closely for three seasons. Now, he has played, is a very unique case, 3 years of junior hockey under his belt. With what you saw last year, the time he missed for the World Junior Camp, and those 3 weeks with the suspension. You would think, okay, after 3 years of junior, maybe he's ready to make that next step, although he did play just 58 games this past season. Where do you think he's at? Because there's two different things at play. The center spot here in Calgary is not very deep. He could probably start the season and play the full year here, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he is a bona fide NHLer at this point. No real way to tell until training camp comes, but in your mind, is he ready to make that next jump, or would he be best served by another year back in Ottawa?
I think he's very close. I think he's ready to play games for sure, and I think it's one of those cases where you use up as many of those 9 games as possible before having to make a decision and whether to keep him up or send him back to junior hockey. I know one of the concerns might be, how good is the 67s team going to be next year? Is it worth his while to go back to the Ontario Hockey League? But I'm a big believer that you don't rush guys, that you don't want to make sure. You want to make sure he's in a situation where he's going to play a lot. And I think if he does get sent back, look, he's going to get sent back if he does after playing some games, so it's not going to be until October. Then he's going to play a month and a half, 2 months, and then it's World Junior Camp. And I don't think there's any way, if he's eligible for the World Juniors this year, that he's not making it. So then he finishes the World Juniors, and it's mid-January, before January 10th. And at that point, I don't see the Ottawa 67s being a contender. So then he gets traded to a contending team. So I don't think it's a bad thing if he gets sent back, because I think we're looking at a situation where he's playing the majority of his time, either World Juniors or for a contending team. elsewhere. And even playing at Ottawa won't be the worst thing in the world for him to come back and play on a team that should be a lot better and be a leader once again and all that. But that being said, if he's ready to go, then I think you got to keep him in Calgary. And I think he's going to prove that he is ready. I'm not expecting him back. Just based on the way he plays with better players, based on his hockey sense, he knew he had to work on his strength. He knew he had to work a little bit on his stride. And I know he worked extremely hard all summer in trying to improve in those areas. And I'm anxious to see to hear reports about how he looks at that camp. Again, he's not going to be a guy that comes in and wows you, that goes coast to coast or anything like that. But just how smart he is, I think a lot of people are going to be very impressed with what they see. And the other thing I should mention as well, because I saw the Gatineau Olympiques four times this year, in the playoffs, wanted to see mainly their opponents in Rimouski, where Samuel Morin was playing, yeah. Philippe DeRosier, and then when they played Halifax, because they had Drouin and McKinnon and Zach Cicalli as well. So Gatineau, the rink in Gatineau is actually closer to my place than Scotiabank place. It's just across the river, about 5 minutes away, and got to a few games out there. And while Emile Poirier wasn't a guy that was on the radar, I didn't really know much about him. At that point, every night I went out across to Gatineau. He was, along with Martin Riway, who's a smallish forward that was drafted by the Habs this year, clearly the best players on the ice for Gatineau, and a guy that I think shot up the ratings for a reason. And I know there was probably a lot of shaking heads in Calgary in terms of what had gone on with the fact that, well, he was mid-second round, according to Bob McKenzie's list and according to all these different scouting services. But when I watched him play, I saw a first-round player. I saw a guy that had tremendous speed, a guy that had a nose for the net, didn't mind getting involved, and was pretty much involved in all the important offensive plays for Gatineau in the first two rounds. So I think Calgary got a real sleeper here with Emile Poirier, and the work of Fred Parker, the local scout here, who obviously saw both these guys play numerous times in Monahan and Poirier, I think the Flames did very well in this draft.
Well, and I think a lot of people here are really excited for this camp because they certainly know a little bit about Morgan Klimchuk because he's from Calgary and he played in Regina, yeah. And they've been able to, because he's been so highly touted for a long time, Sean Monahan. But you're right, it was an off-the-radar pick for a lot of people, and the reports being that, is there a comparable? Like you said, I'm glad you brought that name up because I did want to ask you, being very close there in Gatineau, 32 goals. He had 70 points in 65 games, also threw in 101 points. Is there a comparable? Because it sounds like he's just a tireless, not maybe a pest isn't even doing him justice, but a guy that just does not stop coming at you.
Yeah, he kind of comes at you in waves. I can't really think of a comparable right now in terms of who he looks like, but just a guy that, again, at that point, because you're watching these other guys, it reminds me actually of 2 years ago, and I'm not going to say he's the same type of player as Jean-Gabriel Pageau, but 2 years ago, the Senators, of course, had the number six pick, and same sort of thing, going out to Gatineau to watch them play because they're playing in the conference finals, and then the league final, they're playing Sean Couturier in the conference finals, and they're playing in the league final against St. John. So you're watching Jonathan Huberdeau, two guys that possibly could have been there at number six where the Ottawa Senators were picking. And yet here you are watching Couturier and Huberdeau and all these other players on these other teams, and you kept coming back to Jean-Gabriel Pageau and how he was the best guy on the ice for the Gatineau Olympiques. And sure enough, the Senators brass was there on a regular basis. There'd be some nights I'd see about 10 of them there, with Brian Murray and Tim Murray and Pierre Dorion and everyone in the organization watching. And while Huberto was looking great and Couturier wasn't looking very good, he really struggled there, which is part of the reason why Ottawa went with Mika Zibanejad at number six instead of Couturier, who dropped to number eight. There was Jean-Gabriel Pageau all over the ice, all with Gatineau's best player. Same sort of deal, except a little bit smaller, obviously, than Poirier, but a real good skater and kind of all over the ice, and the puck just seemed to follow him around. And sure enough, the Senators, when Pageau was there in the fourth round, took him, and I think the rest is history. This is a guy that's going to be a National Hockey Leaguer for a long time in terms of his hockey sense and all that, and proved it with how well he looked, not just in the playoffs, but at the end of the regular season as well. So, again, I don't know if he's going to be like Pagel, because he's a different type of player, but I think similar type thing where I think when you've got that area scout there, and Fred Parker, I saw him at the rinks a lot this year in both Ottawa and in the playoffs in Gatineau. I think that can definitely be an edge for your hockey club.
Before we let you go, one of the things I wanted to ask, obviously you cover the 67s, but you live in Ottawa, and the whole Daniel Alfredson fallout here over the last week, is there any way to kind of characterize or describe what Senators fans are feeling right now? Because I don't know that they saw this coming. I think there had to have been a firm belief that it was either he was coming back or he was retiring. I don't think any fans thought he would play elsewhere. What's the state of shock in Ottawa?
Yeah, I think it's been a crazy week. I think that's the best way to characterize it. We were on the air from 1 o'clock until 7 the day that he decided to go elsewhere. And it was funny, about halfway through the show, because it started out as kind of the Alfredson funeral. And then by the time we got halfway through the show, Bobby Ryan was traded to Ottawa. So all of a sudden, a complete 180. Fans had already moved on and were excited about the team. And now you hear Eugene Melnyk's comments yesterday talking about finances and saying how he's losing a substantial amount of money and about how he can't afford to bring in guys for $5 and $6 million. And now people are wondering, well, was this about Eugene Melnyk? And so I think it's been a tough week for Senators fans, but bottom line is, when they wake up today versus a week ago, this Senators team is a better team than it was a week ago. It would be a better team with Daniel Alfredson on it, but I think Clark MacArthur was a decent signing, and Bobby Ryan's an elite first-line player. And so to add him to the mix, yeah, they lost a couple of, a good prospect in Stefan Neesen, and a pretty good player, a guy that's going to be, I think, a good second liner in Jakob Silverberg, but pretty tough to get elite first-line talents like Bobby Ryan, a guy that scored 30 goals 4 years in a row before the lockout. And when you envision him on the wing with Jason Spezza, you can think, wow, this is a guy that maybe can score 40 if Jason can stay healthy all season long. So I think, it's been interesting, because a lot of the blame has gone towards Daniel Alfredson. A lot of questions about, well, if he's going to win a Stanley Cup, does Detroit have a legitimately better shot at winning than the Senators? Two teams that finished equal in points in the regular season. Both teams lost in the second round, albeit Detroit gave Chicago a much more difficult run in round two than Ottawa did with the Pittsburgh Penguins. But many believe this team is heading in the right direction. You kind of wonder about some of the things he did at the end of the season, picking up the puck after game four against the Penguins, and then the infamous probably not when asked if they had a chance to come back and beat the Pens. And you kind of wonder if he didn't believe in the core and if he did think he had a better chance elsewhere. But that's the way Alfredson can be. He's brutally honest, and he's a bit of a different guy. He's a great player here. I think he's a Hall of Fame player and a class act, and certainly this community will miss him both on and off the ice, where he did tireless work in the community for his charitable causes. But in the end, I still think this organization is heading in the right direction, and it's not going to be a big loss when you take away the emotion of it from the standpoint of this team's window to win a Stanley Cup, I think, begins in 2 to 3 years. Was Alfredson really going to be a part of that? I'm not so sure. So I think this organization is still in great shape to try and eventually get that coveted first Stanley Cup.
AJ Jakubik, appreciate your time, man. We kept you for a ton there. We do appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, no problem. Take care, guys.
Thanks, fella. Good talking to you. AJ Jakubik, play-by-play voice of the Ottawa 67s. A little bit there, obviously, on Sean Monahan. A little Emile Poirier, just for good measure. And obviously, the Alfredson perspective.